Hello, Symphony. Welcome to our morning devotional. Today's passage is Esther 9, verses 1 to 19. Now, in the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's command and edict were about to be carried out, on the very day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to gain the mastery over them, the reverse occurred. The Jews gained mastery over those who hated them. The Jews gathered in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their harm. And no one could stand against them, for the fear of them had fallen on all peoples. All the officials of the provinces and the satraps and the governors and the royal agents also helped the Jews, for the fear of Mordecai had fallen on them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces, for the man Mordecai grew more and more powerful. The Jews struck all their enemies with the sword, killing and destroying them, and did as they pleased to those who hated them. In Susa, the citadel itself, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men, and also killed Parshandatha, and Dalphon, and Aspatha, and Poratha, and Adalia, and Aridatha, and Parmashtha, and Arisai, and Aridai, and Vizatha, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hamadatha, the enemy of the Jews, but they laid no hand on the plunder. That very day, the number of those killed in Susa the citadel was reported to the king, and the king said to Queen Esther, "In Susa the citadel, the Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men and also the 10 sons of Haman. What then have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now what is your wish? It shall be granted you. And what further is your request? It shall be fulfilled." And Esther said, "If it please the king, let the Jews who are in Susa be allowed tomorrow also to do according to this day's edict, and let the 10 sons of Haman be hanged on the gallows." So the king commanded this to be done. A decree was issued in Susa, and the 10 sons of Haman were hanged. The Jews who were in Susa gathered also on the 14th day of the month of Adar, and they killed 300 men in Susa, but they laid no hands on the plunder. Now the rest of the Jews who were in the king's provinces also gathered to defend their lives and got relief from their enemies and killed 75,000 of those who hated them, but they laid no hands on the plunder. This was on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th day they rested and made that a day of feasting and gladness. But when the Jews who were in Susa gathered on the 13th day and on the 14th and rested on the 15th day, making that a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages who live in the rural towns hold the 14th day of the month of Adar as a day of gladness and feasting, as a holiday, and as a day on which they send gifts of food to one another. Amen. Now, I'm not a huge football fan, but as a Massachusetts local, the Patriots playing in the Super Bowl was a highlight for many of us in 2017. It was the New England Patriots versus the Atlanta Falcons. The atmosphere in the city was vibrant and expectant as New Englanders tuned in to cheer on our team. But that excitement quickly turned into disappointment and apathy as the Falcons had an insane lead of 28-3. The Boston Globe even printed an initial batch of papers with the headline reading, "A Bitter End." By this point in the game, ESPN reported the Falcons' winning probability to be 98.1%. New Englanders across the country sighed and turned their TVs off to simply go to bed early. It just wasn't worth watching the rest of the devastating game. With only 2 minutes and 15 seconds left in the third quarter, the Patriots began turning the story around. Play after play, they were gaining momentum, and basically within 10 minutes, the whole narrative changed. They were forced into overtime, and the Patriots won in the end. It was the greatest comeback in NFL history for the Patriots, and for the Atlanta Falcons, the greatest upset. It was an epic game that made New Englanders kick themselves in the foot for giving up and going to bed early. Similarly, the Jews in Susa, the citadel, were in this impossible situation. There was a decree sent out by their enemy, Haman, who had influenced the king to basically massacre all of the Jews. I picture the couriers swiftly riding on their horses, sending out copies that read, "The Jews, a bitter end." But as we've seen thus far in the book of Esther, God is always at work. In verse 1, it says, "On the very day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to gain the mastery over them, the reverse occurred. The Jews gained mastery over those who hated them." As we saw in the previous chapter, God orchestrated people and timing and events in such a way where the favored Esther was able to make a counter decree that allowed all Jews to defend themselves. It was a crazy 180 twist of events that no one saw coming. Now, where do you see yourself in this story? One with hope or one with loss? So many faithful Patriot fans gave up and turned off the TV, and it ended up being one of their biggest regrets. They missed out on this great redemptive story because they gave up hope. They couldn't trust in their team to deliver anymore and went home defeated. Are there any circumstances in your life recently that has left you feeling this way? Hopeless, wanting to give up hope? Perhaps your trust in God to provide and to see through His promises has been shaken. My encouragement for you this morning is this: keep tuning in. Don't miss out on what God has in store for you. Even if your circumstances look like your enemies are at a 98.1% win rate, keep hanging on and lean on Jesus. See His promises through. If we turn back to the beginning of Esther, we see the reversal so clearly. For example, Queen Vashti was denied when the king called her to come, but Queen Esther was favored even when the king had not called her. Esther was a minority living life without the guidance of a father and mother. Now, she was a minority but living life guiding the laws and decrees of hundreds of thousands of citizens. Mordecai was just a normal man, watching out for Esther as one of his own. Now he was highly favored, feared, and his fame spread throughout all of the provinces. Haman was powerful, haughty, and violent. He had the upper hand and was gaining power day by day. Now, his power and greed to rule was what ultimately took his life and the life of his sons at the humble hands of the Jews. There's so much more that I could go into, but the point is that God is actively at work for His good and for His people. So what about you? For those of us who believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we were destined for eternal damnation, deserving death and destruction from our unholiness and sin. And that was 100% guarantee. We couldn't work our way out of it. But God sent Jesus to take on the law Himself so that we could be set free and atone for our sins. It was a 180 twist, and when Jesus resurrected from the grave, now that was the biggest comeback in history. So let's take some time today to reflect on our lives and invite Jesus, the living hope Himself, to speak His truth and encouragement over us today. Let's pray. God, we thank You for this encouraging word that is filled with hope, that is filled with You who turns impossible, dark situations into one filled with life, filled with things that we can't even begin to imagine or hope for when we are in seasons of trouble and of suffering. So we thank You, Jesus, that You are hope itself. You are the living hope. And so we pray, God, that You would put our trust in You. Help us to depend on You. Help us to trust in Your promises. And we thank You, Jesus, that You are steadfast and true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.